ॐ अज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपा कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वापदान्तिकम् अददनस्य तृणन्दन्तेरिदं याचे पुनः पुनः श्रीमदरूपपदाम्भोजौ धूलिस्यां मम जन्मनि जन्मनि ईश्वरा परमा कृष्णा सच्चिदानन्द विग्रह अनादिरादिरगोविन्द सर्वकारण कारणम् Hare Krishna. So today we'll start from Brahma Samhita. As we have discussed in our previous session about the supreme position of the Lord, how it has been established by Lord Brahma, then how wonderful is his dham and what are the different pastimes that Lord he performs in his eternal abode called as Golok Vrindavan. Then the most wonderful attribute or quality of Lord Krishna, that his Rupam Madhuri and his Venu Madhuri, which is most attractive to all the living entities, even the inanimated also, they get attracted to their lordship when he plays on his flute. And then next point that we have discussed about the one of the most wonderful pastime of their lordship which attracts each and every living entity towards him and how he performs that. That has also explained by Brahmaji in the previous verse, text number 31 that we have discussed on, where he says that Alola Chandra Kalasatvanamalyavam Simratnam Gadam Pranaya Keli Kalavilasam Shamam Tribhanga Lalitam Niyata Prakasham Govindam Adi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. That Govinda who has a threefold bending form, and in last section we have discussed that how Rupa Goswami Vad, he is giving a word of caution that if someone has a too much of affinity or affection for family members, then they should not look at the Lord. Why? Because if you look at him, you will fall in love with him. And once you are in love with him, then everything in this material world becomes distaste for you. You will not have no more attachment or attraction for material things in this world. And that's why Rupa Goswami Pad says that one gopi is addressing to other one, Ma prekshishthastava yadi sakhe bandhu sangostiranga. Don't look at that guy who is cunning and who is standing in the threefold bending forms. Govindakyam haritunavita keshi tirtho upakante smiras trebhangi parichitam sachirna vistirna drushti. Don't look at that threefold bending form of person who is known as a Govinda. Because if you look at him, you will lose taste for this material world. And that's the attraction of their lordship. So today, we are going to discuss from text number 32. And 32 onward, the next four shlokas, Brahmaji is explaining about the inconceivable potency of the Lord. You can't conceive the lordship through our the senses, not with the material knowledge, or not with the mundane concept of life. Why? That is very wonderfully explained in the next verse. And there he says, Angani yasya sakalendriya vrittimanti pashanti panti kalayanti chiram jaganti ananda chinmaya sadujjvala vigrahasya govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami. So here Brahmaji is explaining now about the inconceivable potency of the Lord. He says, I worship that original personality, the supreme personality of a Godhead, Sri Govinda. His divine form is a composed of eternity, cognizance and bliss. Ananda Chinmaya. He says that Ananda Chinmaya Satujvala Vigrahasya. So his form is Ananda, full of bliss, Chit, full of knowledge, and Sad, with eternity. And not only that, further he goes and tells, each and every limb or sense of his transcendental body is inherently endowed with all the functions of all other senses. He eternally sees, maintains and regulates an infinite number of universes, both spiritual and mundane. Pashyanti, he eternally sees. Panti means maintenance, and Kalayanti. Kalayanti means who regulates. And what? Jaganti. Jaganti means universes. So here, how things are inconceivable, you can try to understand. As in the first verse, he establishes who is Krishna. So Sri Krishna Chandra is Ishvara. What sort of a Ishvara he is? He explains that he is a Parameshvara. Ishvara Paramaha Krishna. He is the supreme personality of a Godhead. And how is he? Anadir Adir Govinda. He does not have a beginning, not the end. And he is the source of everything. And he is Govinda who gives pleasure. Ishvara Paramaha Krishna Sachid Ananda Vigraha. And his form is Sat, Chit and Ananda. So his form is eternal, full of knowledge and full of bliss. Contrary to the things in this material world. In this material world, all things are temporary. All things are in ignorance. And third thing, they create sufferings for us. So there is no bliss. So with those things, and if that is the nature of the things in the material world, so anything that is getting controlled by this material nature, definitely it is constitute of these three natures, three things only. Whatever is controlled by this material nature is also having the same qualities. Non-permanent, lack of knowledge, and there is unhappiness. So with these things, how is it possible to understand the Lord? Who is Sat, who is eternal, who is Chit, who is full of knowledge, and Ananda, who is full of bliss. Further he says, it is difficult to fathom his activities. Because there is no difference between him and his body. Being eternal, And being a transcendental to this material modes of nature, so Lord and His body, there is no difference. But here in this material world, we and our body, there is a difference. As we are part and parcel of the Lord, so we are eternal. But what we possess, this body itself, is not eternal. It is temporary. So through this temporary body, it's not possible to understand the pastimes, the glories, the qualities of the Supreme Personality of our Godhead. Because they are totally transcendental to above our conception. And that's why he says, Angani asya sakalendriya vrittimanti. Because he can see through his nose. He can maintain through his eyes. He can eat through his eyes. And we all have that experience. When we offer food to their Lordship, he puts his glance on that. And he takes it. He honors that. He enjoys that foodstuff. And that becomes a mercy for us. So the person on the mandal platform, he can't understand this. And he may think that, oh, these are all concoction, you know. Some people who were in back eras, who were not having that much of knowledge, or who are not that civilized, they must have concocted it. But it's not a concoction. To make us understand that it is not a concoction of some mundane person, Brahmaji has already explained in the beginning, all the shlokas up to the 28th verse, he has explained that how everything is transcendental, how everything is created in this world. And the person who has given this knowledge and who is praying to their Lordship is not a common man. He is the second creator of this whole universe, the first living entity in this world, in this whole universe. And he's explaining about that. So it's not a mental concoction. But people who are on the bodily platform of a life, who does not have that much enough brain to understand the glories of the Lord, they may think that everything on this, because beyond that they can't go and they understand the things which is beyond their capacities. So let's read from the Tika or the commentary that has given by Shripad Jiva Goswami on this particular verse. So he says that Brahmaji has described both types of Leela of Govinda, the original personality. So in the beginning he has already explained the first, the second verse, Chintamani Prakara Satma Sukalpa Vriksha. So what the Lord does in the spiritual world. So that pastime that has explained. And second thing, the Alola Chandra Kala Sattva, how he is engaged in his Leela Vilas. So his original pastimes of the original personality has explained by Brahmaji. And now further from this verse to next four verses, which the starts from Angani Asya, he will explain the influence of Sri Krishna's inconceivable potency, Achintya Shakti. Achintya means inconceivable and Shakti means potency. His hands and feet also have the power to see while his eyes, besides having the capacity to see, can also perform all other functions such as a protecting, nourishing and so on. I remember one shloka regarding this actually. See, the living entities in this material world, they can perform different activities through their different senses. Like as explained in the Shrutis, Darshanam Dhyanam Samsparasher Matsya Kurma Vihanganam Swanyapatyani Pushtani Tathaham Api Padmaja. So in the Shrutis, Lord is explaining to Padmaja, means Brahma, that by vision, by meditation and by touch only do the fish, the tortoise and the birds maintain their offsprings. Similarly, do I also, O Padmaja. So Prabhupada explains about this verse. If you want, you can read this. It's in the 5th chapter, 26th verse. In the purport, Prabhupada, he quotes about that. So he says that the fish brings its offspring simply by looking at them. If fish can bring his offsprings by looking at him. So don't you think that Lord can do it? As explained in the second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, that when the Mahavishnu, he glances upon the Mahat Tattva, then it becomes live and it starts creating this material universe. So his glance does the work of impregnation. He impregnates this material world through the eyes. So that is his potency. So further Prabhupada says here, the eggs of the tortoise are laid on land and the tortoise meditates on the eggs while in the water. So similarly, a devotee in Krishna consciousness, although far away from the Lord's abode, can elevate himself to that abode simply by thinking of the Lord. So here, if any living entity created by the Lord can do all these functions, then why not the Lord? He is transcendental and his activities are about the mundane perceptions. Then further Jiva Goswami Pad says, therefore it is said in the Shruti, Sarvataha Panipadam Tat Sarvato Akshi Shiro Mukham. His hands and feet are everywhere and his eyes, heads and mouths are on all sides. Sahasra Shirsha Pursha Sahasraksha Sahasrapad Sabhumim Vishvato Rutva Titrishtadashangulam. That's what even Purusha Sukta says. Now in this verse, the word Jaganti has used. So the word Jaganti indicates that he manifests his own Swarupa among his pastime associates simultaneously according to their individual bhava. And that he personally tastes the miraculous rasa of those associates through his own limbs and senses. All this can only be accomplished through the unique influence of his divine transcendental form. I remember one nice verse actually that is from Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto. That verse is, Mallanam Ashnim Drudam Narvaro Strinam Smaro Murtiman. When Lord, he entered in the arena of Kamsa, the wrestling arena, where the Lordship performed a very wonderful and mysterious pastime, you know. So when he entered there, what happened? Mallanam Ashnim, the wrestlers there, they thought that, oh, this boy is like a Ashni. Ashni means thunderbolt, the weapon of Indra. And nothing is stronger and harder than that in this universe. Mallanam Ashnim Nuram Nridam Naravaro Strinam Smaro Murtiman. For the woman there, he was Smara. Smara means Cupid. So in one side he was looking like a thunderbolt. The same times for the women there, they thought that he is like a Smara, the Cupid himself. स्त्रीनाम स्मरो मूर्तिनाम गोपानाम स्वजनो असताम. फॉर गोपास ही लुक्स लाइक वन ऑफ देम ओनली. सो इट सेड दैट व्हेन ही किल्ड कंसा, सो वन ऑफ हिज फ्रेंड ही जस्ट जंप्ड इनटू द अरेना एंड ही पुट कृष्णा ऑन द ग्राउंड एंड ही वाज सिटिंग ऑन हिज चेस्ट. कैन यू इमेजिन? The great kings who were assembled there in the arena, when they saw him, Shasta, they looked at him as a Shasta, the great controller, the great king amongst them. Kshitibhujam means who has his hands like a horizon. Does horizon has any limits? So same way the Krishna's hands are so powerful that they can control whatever is there, whatever comes under the control of horizon. Yoginam paratattva. For yogis, he's like a paramatma on whom they were meditating. Swapitro shishu. For his own parent, like Vasudeva and Devaki, when they saw him, for them he looked like a shishu, a small baby who is totally depending upon them. Mrityur bhojapate. When Kansa looked at him, for him he looked like a death personification. So that's the way. The one person, but when he entered in that arena, so everyone, as explained here by Goswami Pad, that he says that the word Jagand indicates that he manifests his own Swarupa among his pastime associate simultaneously according to their individual bhava, according to their individual mood. As wrestlers, they thought that, oh, he is like a vajra. Same time, when the women, girls, who were present there from the Mathura to see that wrestling match, when they looked at him, for them he looked like a cupid. So beautiful. A beautiful person can't be, who is a delicate, can't be like a hard, like a vajra. But all this contradiction, they resolve in the Supreme Personality of a Godhead. Because he is inconceivable. His potencies are inconceivable. And same person who was looking like a cupid appears like a small baby for his own parents. So these are the particulars, bhavas or individual bhavas, they were expressed by the individual personalities who were present there for one person, and that is Krishna. And that's the glory of his inconceivable potency of the Lord. But still we are being on the platform of this mundane level. We think all these are myths or mythologies. And that's why most of the so-called scholars of this world, our present situation, they call these as a myth. And they think all these Puranas, Itihasas, Vedic scriptures, they are mythology. They are just concoction or imaginations of some bygone people. But we should understand that here Brahmaji has clearly shown the difference according to the philosophical principle between the conscious spiritual substance, that is Chit, and the unconscious material substance, that is Achit. And this verse and next few verses, Brahmaji has made a diligent endeavor to make us understand that pastimes of Sri Krishna's are not imaginations. Actually, here the intention of Brahmaji is to establish the transcendental form of Sri Krishna, which is composed of eternal existence, knowledge, and the bliss. Whereas all this phenomenal, the material world, and inanimate and composed of ignorance. despite of being this two being categorically distinct from each other, the spiritual affair is factual to the original root principle, and therefore variety and specific distinction must necessarily exist there eternally. Thus it is confirmed that Krishna's form, name, qualities, abode and the pastimes are transcendental. And only those whose consciousness is pure and sublime and free from all the mundane concoctions and connection with these mundane delusions are eligible to understand these pastimes. Otherwise, it's not possible. So, next, in the next verse, Brahmaji has explained the different attributes which are also inconceivable of their lordship. But we need to try to understand them. And we can understand them only by reading the prayers that has been offered by the great devotees like Brahmaji and Prahlad Maharaj and so on. And Srimad Bhagavatam is full of all these prayers where it is clearly mentioned that how one can understand the lordship. So let's see the next verse where Brahmaji is explaining about the inconceivable characteristics of the Lord. And he says in the text number 33, Advaitam Achyutam Anadi Anantarupam Adyam Purana Purusham Navayauvanam Cha Vedeshu Durlabham Adurlabham Atma Bhaktau Govindamadi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. Although he is non-dual, Advaita, infallible, Achyuta, beginningless, Anadi, possessed unlimited forms, Anantarupam, the old of all, Adi Purusham, nevertheless, he is a beautiful person with everlasting. Adyam Purana Purusham Navayavanam Cha. He is Navayavanam, means everlasting. Fresh, youthful. Although he is incomprehensible through study of the Vedas, he is easily attended by the spontaneous devotion of the soul. That is by Shuddha Prema. By devotion, by bhakti. I worship that original personality of Sri Govinda. So here, his characteristics has explained. The first characteristic of the Supreme Personality of a Godhead, that is, he is Advaita. So what it means actually, he is non-dual. Whenever people they think about the Vedic philosophy, then they think about Shankaracharya. And the philosophy that he has given, which is known as Advaita philosophy, non-dual, where they think that there is a aikya between the jiva and the Lord. And Lord, because he gets affected by the material nature, so he takes the form and comes to this material and performs his pastimes. And jiva, if he performs the sadhana, then he can become the Lord. That is the conception of Advaita philosophy. But that Advaitism and what here the quality of Lord has explained as Advaita is totally different. So let's see in the words of Shankaracharya himself what he speaks about Advaita, and that attribute he puts it for the Lord Krishna. At the end of his life, he wrote one book called as a Prabodh Sudhakar. And in that book, he explains what that Advaitism is in regard with the Krishna. How to understand that. So he says that here, Tadidam ya eva maryo veda brahma samasmitam sa idam sarvam cha chasyatasya hi devasya neshate bhutyehi. एषां स भावयत्याम यो अन्यथाम देवाम उपासते अन्यः अहम् मन्यो सावन्यस्थेश्च नो वेदः पशुवत्सः। इति उपनिषद उक्तिस्तथा श्रुतिर भगवद उक्तिश्च ज्ञानी त्वात्वै ममे मतिर अत्यत्र युक्तिरपि। सो वेयर लॉर्ड सेज दैट आई एम दैट सुप्रीम ब्रह्मन whom the whole universe called it as, and everyone resides into me, and still I'm not into them. I'm totally different from them. That's what the Shruti says. So he says how there is a presence of the Lord in each and everyone, how everything is Lord only. In other words, Vasudevam Sarvamitihi, that is what Advaita. That is what non-duality. Because everything that constitutes Lord only. Because it is made up of either Lord's internal energy or in external energy, called as a Maya, the material nature, Prakriti, or Daivi Prakriti, the spiritual nature. So in that regard, everything is Lord Vasudeva only. So that is Advaita. So he gives example, Shankaracharya. He says, Rujam vaktram va kashtam cha huta daksham sat agnita yati yat kinchi hastagrayam ruj vakra sa satvepi. So just like any form of a wood, it may be, if you put it in the fire, it becomes fire. So when jiva, not necessary what he is actually by caste, by origin, by nationality, but if he comes in a contact with the Lord, he becomes as pure as the Lord. So that is what the equanimity with the Lord, that is what Advaita. It's not that he merges, but he becomes like the Lord qualitatively. Quantitatively we are minute because we are anshas. So if you take the drop of water from the ocean, it has all the same qualities as the ocean has. But quantitatively, you can't call this drop as an ocean. You will call it as a drop of ocean. So same way, jiva, eternally the ansha of the Lord. But qualitatively, he's same as the Lord. That we need to understand. But still, Lord has a four qualities which are higher than all his swamshas also, like all the Vishnu avatars and all the Shiva avatars also. And those qualities are like his beauty, which is incomparable. Then his pastimes, the activities that he performs. Then his Venu Madhuri, the flute that he plays. And Bhakta Madhuri, his love for his devotion. These are most wonderful qualities that Lord possesses more than anyone else. So that's what we need to understand. So further, the next word that the Brahmaji has used for the Lord. So let me first read the commentary given by Shripad Jiva Goswami on this particular verse. So in the three verses beginning with the verse 33, Brahmaji confirms that Shri Bhagavan is possessed of extraordinary and unique characteristics. Extremely learned personalities who are fully conversant with all philosophical principles say that the supreme absolute truth is non-dual knowledge, which is known as Advaita. He is the shelter of the impersonal Brahmans known as Brahmajyoti and of the all-pervading super soul known as a Paramatma. The Vedas refer to him as one without a second, Ekam Eva Advitiyam, who is one without second. For no one is equal to or greater than him. He is Asama Urdhvaha. Asama Urdhva means no one is equal to him and no one above to him or greater than him. He has no material senses and he is not bound by the results of his activities. as everyone is bound by the reactions of their activities in this material world, because they are controlled by the material world. But Lord is a controller of the material world. So that's why he never gets entangled because of his karma. So further, Jiva Goswami Pad says, that supreme transcendental reality is the fully independent, singular, non-dual, transcendental enjoyer, Bhagavan Sri Krishna. In regard to this, being one without a second, it has been stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd canto, 2nd chapter, 21st verse. It says that, Swayam tu asmyastishayatrayatthisha swarajalakshmyaptasamastakamaha balim haradbhish chiralokapalai kiritakotyayedita padapitam. Sri Krishna, the original form of a Bhagavan, is the master of three potencies, Sandini, Samvit and Ladini. These are the potencies, the Shaktis, the energies of the Supreme Personality of a God. No one is equal to or greater than him. He is completely self-satisfied. So what word they have used here for? Apta samasta kamaha. He is self-satisfied. He is completely self-satisfied in his own intrinsic form of a supreme transcendental bliss. All the demigods such as Indra, Chandra, Kuvera, Varuna, Brahma and Shiva, and all the countless guardians of the world such as the Purusha avatars of various kinds of worship, presentations and obeisances, and they keep their heads, which are decorated with the millions of crowns, at his lotus feet. In one more verse, it says that Vismapannam swasyacha saubhargardheha param padmam bhushanam cha bhushangan. His pastimes were wonderful for everyone, even for those who are proud of their own opulences, including Lord himself in his form as the Lord of Vaikuntha. Thus, the Krishna's transcendental body is the ornament of all ornaments. From this verse, it is understood that in order to show the influence of his yoga maya, Bhagavan manifests his own form of eternity, knowledge and bliss in this world, which is composed of 5 gross elements. This material world is composed of us, 5 gross elements. This form of a Krishna, which is just suitable for performing pastime resembling the activities of ordinary mortal humans, is so beautiful and enchanting that even Krishna himself is thoroughly astonished upon seeing it. This Swarupa, the original form of the Lord, the ultimate and extremely great fortune, and it is so beautiful that it beautifies the ornaments with which it is adorned. In other words, it is transcendental to all material comparison. So that's the explanation about word Advaita means. Now, Jiva Goswami Pad is explaining about the word Achyuta. So he says that Achyuta refers to one who never deviates from his own form, nature and occupation. So what is the nature of their lordship? He is a Dina Vatsala, he is a Bhakta Vatsala, he is a Sharanagata Vatsala. So that's the nature of their lordship. And he never gives up that at any condition. He always keeps his word. As explained in Ramayana, Yuddhakanda, 18th chapter, 3rd verse, where Lord says that Sakrudeva Prapannaya Tava Smiti Yachet. Abhayam Sarva Bhute Pyo Dadami Etat Vratam Mama. Where one says, oh my Lord, I am yours, the Lord says, I take care of him. I give him fearless name. I award him that. Abhayam. Immediately he gives that Abhaya. So that's the nature of the Lord. So he says further, in the Kashi Khanda, it has been stated, Ato Achyuto Khile Loke Ekaha Sarvago Avyayaha. His devotees do not fall down even at the time of the cosmic annihilation. Therefore, in all worlds, only all-pervading personality, Sri Krishna, has been called Achyuta. Sri Akrura has also spoken about the subject of Achyuta Krishna in his prayers. He says, oh, today Kamsa has bestowed a great mercy upon me, by which all inauspiciousness in my life has been vanquished. The lotus feet of Bhagavan Sri Krishna have descended upon the surface of the earth. Now my human birth has become successful. Because today I will be able to bow down directly to the lotus feet, although they are the highest object of meditation for yogis. In ancient times, great liberated personalities such as Ambarisha, having attended just one glimpse of the radiance emanating from the nails of those lotus feet, have crossed over the insurmountable ocean of birth and death. Oh, the demigods headed by Brahma and Shiva are possessed all of opulences. Yet they never tire of worshipping those lotus feet, which the supremely fortunate Lakshmi Devi worships instantly, because they bestow all good fortune. Those lotus feet are also worshipped by the devotees and sages, because they bestow the ultimate success of life. And because they are an ocean of mercy, Sri Krishna's cowherd boyfriends serve them with newer and newer feelings of a deep love when he sports in the forest at the time of cow grazing. Those very same lotus feet are colored by the vermilion kumkumam powder from the breasts of the gopis who are full of the highest spontaneous love for Krishna. So similarly, in describing the glories of those lotus feet, Sri Uddhavji has also said, Yavai Shri Architam Ajadibhir Aptakamair Yogeshwarer Apiyad Atmani Rasa Goshtyam Krishnasya Tat Bhagavatascharanaravindam Nyastam Staneshu Vijahu Parirbhatapam. The lotus feet of Sri Krishna are served by Lakshmi Devi, the goddess of fortune, and are worshipped in the heart by the self-satisfied masters of mystic yoga headed by Brahmaji. Yet at the time of the Rasleela, the gopis of Vrindavan reveal the burning of their hearts by directly embracing those lotus feet to their breasts. So here you can understand, say that, what is the goal of yoga? Yogeshwarer api yad atmani rasa goshtyam. It says that Ajadivir apta kamar. Ajadivir means the great yogis like Aja, that is Brahma, and others like Lord Shiva and other great sages in who are apta kamar, who does not have any other material desire. Their desires are all fulfilled. So what they are looking for? They're looking or meditating on the lotus feet of Sri Krishna. which are worshipped by Mother Lakshmi. So the further Jiva Goswami Pad says, the glories of Sri Krishna's lotus feet have been described in this way throughout the scriptures. Because whoever takes shelter at this lotus feet, he becomes fearless. As explained, Bhajahure Mana Shri Nandanandana Abhaya Charanara Vindare. Lord's lotus feet are called as a Abhaya Charanarvinda. Why? Because they give full protection whoever takes shelter at their place. And Lord has taken a vow. He never falls down from his vow. And that's why he is Achyuta. So he says that the glories of Sri Krishna's lotus feet have been described in this way throughout the scriptures. Similarly, Sri Krishna's transcendental abode is also beyond this world, beyond the illusory energy and beyond the three modes of material nature. For instance, Bhagavan gave Narad Maharaj and all the Vrajavasis a vision. Sorry, not Narada, it's Nanda Maharaj. Nanda Maharaj and all the Vrajavasis a vision of the spiritual abode of Vaikuntha, which is transcendental to material nature. That abode is supermundane, composed of conscious spiritual energy, indivisible, real, self-luminous, eternal, and the embodiment of truth. The great sage who have attained a state beyond the three modes of material nature are incapable of seeing the abode of a Krishna even in their pure trance. On seeing the personified Vedas offering reverent prayers to Sri Krishna in that world, Nanda and other Vrajavasis were utterly astonished. So further, Jiva Goswami Pad, he explains, Advaita and Achyuta in this verse recited by Brahmaji, and now he comments on the word Anadi. In the discussion regarding Sankhya found in Srimad Bhagavatam, actually, as there is a Bhagavad Gita which is spoken by Lord Krishna to Uddhava, there is another Gita which is called as Uddhava Gita, which is there in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. So there, the Lordship has explained the further sutras or formulas that he has not explained in the Bhagavad Gita, which is most essential for the person who has made really good progress in his spiritual life. There in the 24th chapter, text number 22 to 27, it has been explained about the Lord's wonderful potency, how that creates and annihilates the whole world. So here Jiva Goswami Pad says, the verse Kalo Maya Maye Jive states that Sri Krishna is the origin of that which has no origin. He remains present in one Swarupa throughout the creation, maintenance and annihilation. Even at the time that Brahma and Shankara cease to exist, Bhagavan alone remains present. Although the universe is eventually destroyed, he remains absorbed in his eternal pastimes with his eternal associates in his eternal abode. So that indicates the Lord's abode is eternal. Not like this material world, which get created, which get maintained and ultimately get destroyed. But Lord's abode, even though the whole creation, maintenance and destruction of this material verse is going on, but still he is there in his own abode where he is performing his pastime eternally with his associates. Further, it is explained in this verse is that the annihilation has been described thus. At the time of the cosmic annihilation, so listen carefully, how the annihilation of all this material world that happens, that has very nicely explained here. So Srimad Bhagavatam is just not a spiritual Purana, but it also explains about all the material things, how they happen in this world. As in the third canto, we can see the whole embryology has explained. In the fifth canto, the whole universal structure has explained. Now, here in the 11th canto, 24th chapter, the destruction, how it takes place of this material universe, that has explained. The creation part is already explained in the second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. So here you can see how the annihilation, the destruction of this material universe happens. The Sankhya philosophy has explained here. Sankhya philosophy is none other than the analytical study of this creation and destruction and this material world has given by the Lord Himself. So here Lord Krishna, as He has given the Sankhya philosophy to Arjuna, the second chapter in the Bhagavad Gita, so same way, the further Sankhya philosophy has elaborately explained in the Uddhav Gita to Uddhava. So here, in this particular verses, if you want for the reference, you can write it down. The 11th canto, 24th chapter, from text number 22 to 27. The annihilation has been described thus. At the time of the cosmic annihilation, the mortal bodies of the living entities enter into grains. As explained in the Bhagavad Gita, Annad Bhavati Bhutani. From the grains, living entity, they manifest in this world. So where they goes during the first stage of annihilation, what happens? The mortal bodies of the living entities enter into the grains. Then grains enter into seeds. Because grain, they comes from seeds. So they go back to seeds again. Seeds into the earth. So they go back to the earth. Then earth. Earth is the manifestation of one subtle element, and that is fragrance. If there is no fragrance, no earth. So fragrance goes into the water. Water into the object of test, then test into fire, fire into the form, form into the air, air into the touch, touch into the space, and space into the sense object of sound, which is called as a Nada Brahma. So everything in this world is created from Shabda, Shabda Ke Paurusham Drusha. So that Shabda, the word, everything is created from the word. So everything goes back to again word. So all the senses enter their respective presiding demigods. The demigods enter into the controlling mind. Mind enters into the false ego. And sound enters the cosmic phase of false ego. All the three modes of false ego enter into the Mahatattva. The Mahatattva enters into the mode of material nature. The modes of material nature enters into the predominated principle, which called as a Prakriti. The predominated principle Prakriti enters into time, and time enters into the Bhagavan, who is the controller of Maya, and finally enters into me. However, my Swarupa, which is the cause of creation, maintenance and annihilation, is never absent at any time. So that is the eternity of the Lordship. Sri Krishna has also been described as the oldest person in the following ways. So, he has explained about the Advaitam, Achyutam, Anadi Anandarupam. Now he is speaking about Adyam, Purana Purusham. So he says, Ekastvam Atma Purushaha Puranaha. Brahmaji said, O Bhagavan, you are the only truth because you are Paramatma and you are the separate from this world of misleading appearance. You are the root cause of the creation, maintenance and annihilation of this universe. You are the oldest person and you are eternal, perfect, complete and unchanging. You are the embodiment of a nectar composed of eternal bliss and free from all mundane designation and the qualities of the illusory energy. You are pure, endless, indivisible, and non-dual. Now in the 10th canto, Yadu wives of Mathura, they are also glorifying their lordship. What they are saying? Gudaha Purana Purusho Vanachitra Malyaha. Krishna is the eternal and primeval personality whose lotus feet are worshipped by the Brahma, Shankara and Lakshmi Devi. Avyaktam Vyaktimapannam Manyate Mam Abhuddaya. You are unknown to ignorant people who harbor the misconception that you are formless, indifferentiated, unmanifest Brahman, has manifest separately by the knowledge function of the illusory potency, and has descended to the world in the Nanda Bhavan in the form of Krishna. And that's why you are confidential. Your original form is decorated with the wonderful garlands of forest flowers, and you perform many varieties of pleasing pastimes while playing on your flute and gazing cows along with the Baladeva. So these are the few verses, those are quoted by Jiva Goswami Pad from Srimad Bhagavatam, to explain the each and definition of each and every word that Brahma has used for the glorification of their lordship. It's not only that, the same person who is Adi, the origin of everything, who is a Purusha, who is the greatest enjoyer, but same time, being Adi and being an enjoyer, he is Navayavanam. He is ever fresh and young. That's the glory of their lordship. In the first canto, 16th chapter, from text number 26 to 30, the wonderful qualities of Krishna has explained, and they number more than 86 actually. And that's the particular form that Lord has, ever fresh and youthful. And that's the meditation of Lord Brahma. Vedeshu adurlabhamam durlabham. And that Lord is very difficult to understand through Vedas. And that's why it is said in Upanishad, it is said that Nayiti, 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 Nayiti. All the Upanishads, Vedas, they speak about Lord. Oh, he is not like this. Oh, he is not like this. He is not like this. Because nothing in this material world can comprehend the transcendental qualities of the Lord. Even Vedas. So one has to come out of that. And that's why Lord says that Bhaktyaham Ekaya Grahyaha. Who is difficult to understand through the Vedic studies becomes understandable, comprehensible only by performing devotional service to Him. In this regard, Bhagavan has also explained, Lord has also explained in Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th canto, 14th chapter, 21st verse. O Uddhava, bhakti is the powerful method of attaining me. I am completely controlled by that devotion. But I am never controlled by yoga, neither by philosophical deliberation, adherence to religious principles, or meticulous study of the Vedas, austerities, giving charity, nor by any other matter. I am the super soul in everyone's heart, and I am easily attended by sadhus alone, not by anyone else. This is because they have unadulterated and undivided devotion, which is born of their unflinching faith in me. So this type of exclusive devotion has the power of purify even a member of the caste of dog eaters. However, all qualities such as truthfulness, mercy, observing silence, following scriptural injunctions, austerities and the cultivation of knowledge definitely cannot purify the heart of human being who is devoid of bhakti unto him. So let me read one verse from Shripad Shankaracharya. Very nicely he says that you can't purify your heart by knowledge. by Vedic studies. He says, Shudyate hi na antaratma krishna badam bhojam bhaktimrate vasanam ivaksharodair bhaktya prakshalyate chetaha. He says, your heart only can get purified by performing devotional service to the Lord. Just like when you want to wash your clothes, you put it in the kshara adbhi. Kshara adbhi means the salted water, as we use acids and other things or washing powders to clean the cloth. The same way, bhakti is the only one thing that can cleanse your heart. And that's why Lord, it says that, Lord himself says that, purify the heart of human being who is devoid of bhakti. And without bhakti, you can't purify your heart. And he says further, Lord Brahma in 14th chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, where he has offered prayers to Lord Krishna, he says that Pureha Bhuman Bhava Api Yoginaha. O Indivisible One, O Achyuta, there were many yogis in the world in ancient times who, being unable to attain success in the path of yoga, began to perform their worldly and religious duties as an offering unto your lotus feet. As a result of this, they began to practice bhakti in the form of hearing and chanting the narration of your glories. Thus they realize the essential reality of a self without by extraneous endeavor, and without difficulty they attended the excellent destination of becoming your associates. And that only happens by hearing about the Supreme Personality of a Godhead. Because Shravanam is the first process by which you can purify your heart. And if that happens in the association of devotees, then definitely bhakti increases, as explained by Kapila Muni. Satam prasangad mama virya samvedo bhavanti ratkarna rasayana kataha tad joshnad ashva pavarga vartmani shraddha ratir bhaktir anukrameshati. Satam prasangad mama virya samvedo. In the association of devotees, if you hear about my pastimes, they enter through your ear and goes to your heart. Krishna karana rasayanam, they becomes the elixir that goes through the ear and goes to your heart. And what it does? That purifies your heart. As Chatush Kumaras, they glorified Prithu Maharaj, and this is that amala antaratmanaha, this Krishna katha that purifies your heart, not just the upper level, but from the bottom of your heart it gets cleaned up. And then what happens? Shraddha ratir bhaktir anukrameshati, that gradually faith in their lordship, then attachment to his lotus feet, his service, about his chanting the glories of his name, chanting the glories of his activities, that gets increased, and then you attain pure devotional service. So it's like they are interconnected. If you hear about the Lord, that purifies your heart, and if your heart gets purified, you would like to hear more and more and more and more about their lordship. So let's keep that enthusiasm to hear more and more about the wonderful pastimes of the Lord. And then next Saturday we will discuss the next verse, which starts with Panthastu koti shatavatsara sampragamyo. How there are different paths, they are accepted by the different personalities to attain their lordship. But which is the one that can give you the real destination of your life? Thank you so much for your patience. Hare Krishna. Sri Krishna Arpanamastu.